Chapter 15. Deepest Consequence. And oft-times, to win us to our harm, the instruments of darkness tell us truths, win us with honest trifles to betray us in deepest consequence. Macbeth, Act 1, Scene 3. Bull and Dorian are playing cards when Cullen lets himself into Bull's room. Dorian wrapped in a blanket like an invalid. Cullen doesn't even have the energy to tease him about being cold, though normally he wouldn't pass up such a perfect opportunity. His gaze falls on the cup at Dorian's elbow and the two empty bottles by his chair, but if he doesn't have the energy to tease, he certainly doesn't have the energy for that conversation. "You're awake," Cullen says, for lack of anything less self-evident to say. "I find I have trouble sleeping through riots," Dorian says, accepting the card Bull offers and slotting it in amongst the others in his hand. "There's always that lingering fear they've come for the Vint Magister at last." He puts a little extra sneer on Magister, in case there was any doubt what he thinks of people who don't know the difference between a Magister and an Altus Mage, which would be most people outside Tevinter. But Cullen has no more enthusiasm for teasing him about that than about the cold. "Planning to play cards all night?" Cullen asks, which is the closest he can come to asking for what he needs. "Well, as much as I love wicked grace," Dorian says, downing the contents of his cup before unwinding himself from the blanket, "I could probably be persuaded to do other things."
"You just want to stop 'cause you're winning right now," Bull says with a grin.
"That has nothing to do with anything," Dorian says with a smile that's just a little too sharp. He slides out of his chair and prowls across the room until he's right in Cullen's face, without quite touching him. There's something feral in his smile, something not at all tame, and not in the least bit safe, and Cullen suddenly puts together things he knew but had never looked at as a whole. Dorian's never cracked except after meeting with his father. But Cullen would know how easy it is to fall apart inside without letting anyone else see. He looks away, unable to meet Dorian's eyes. "Clothes off," Dorian purrs, or it might be a growl. As he kneels to remove his boots, Cullen thinks that the two sound remarkably alike. Behind him, he hears the door being bolted. When he straightens to slide out of his trousers, Dorian is already naked, skin bronzed by the candlelight. Bull is still at the table, and he's studying Dorian with an appreciation for more than simple aesthetics. "Watching or joining?" Dorian asks him, fingers drumming against his thigh as if he can't keep them still.
"Tough choice," Bull says,
but even as he says it, he gets up and walks closer. He slaps Dorian's ass on the way by, and Dorian rolls his eyes, looking a little less wild for a second. Then, the only thing Cullen can see is Bull's face, looming right in front of him, meeting his eyes as if he's reading Cullen's thoughts off the inside of his skull. Cullen's not sure he wants Bull that far in his head, not tonight, so he imitates a move he's seen Dorian do 100 times. He grabs Bull's horns, one in each hand, and pulls their mouths together, hard. He can't follow what Bull does, but it ends with Cullen's arm wrenched up behind his back, Bull behind him. Cullen is up on his toes to relieve the strain in his shoulder, and even that's only enough to stop the position from doing damage, not enough to keep it from hurting. Pain radiates out from his shoulder and elbow and wrist, and he can only breathe in short gasps, and he's already half hard.
"Remember who's in charge here," Bull says, though he sounds amused rather than angry. "A little creativity never hurts, but that doesn't mean you get to take over."
Dorian steps around in front of him, and Cullen sways towards him, without meaning to. He looks more dangerous than Cullen's ever seen him, not at all the flirt who tries to make him blush over games of chess. This is what the Inquisitor sees when they're out together, Cullen realizes, and he's glad he doesn't usually leave Skyhold. If he had to fight beside Dorian, he's very sure he wouldn't be able to keep his hands to himself for more than an hour.
Maybe 2 hours. On a good day.
Please,
he whispers, because he knows that's allowed. Dorian smiles with too many teeth. Your wish is my command. He grabs the hand that isn't pinned between Cullen's shoulder blades, raising it up until Cullen's gripping the back of his own neck. Don't move, Dorian says, and Cullen shakes his head, then nods, then shakes his head again, confused which is right. At least Dorian seems to understand that he's agreeing, because his smile loses some of its sharpness, and when he takes hold of Cullen's face, he's not rough. Firm, almost to the point of pain, thumbs digging into Cullen's cheeks and fingers into his scalp, but every movement is slow and deliberate. Dorian kisses him the way he tried to kiss Bull, hard and possessive, tongue thrusting into his mouth without any pretense at asking permission. Caught between the two of them, still up on his toes to keep the pain in his arm on the right side of pleasurable, there's no way Cullen can move or escape. His attempt to kiss Dorian back gets him a sharp jab of lightning and warning, so he closes his eyes and lets Dorian explore his mouth with teeth and tongue. Against his back, Bull's cock grows and hardens. Moving together as smoothly as if they've rehearsed this, they pull Cullen's arms over his head, Dorian holding both of Cullen's wrists together while Bull ties them. The blindfold next, and Cullen relaxes into the rope, letting it support his weight as Bull wraps the cloth around his eyes. Fingers pinch the edge of his ear, tugging it out and back. Confused, he lets his head be pulled around until Dorian says, "Hold still." Something hot and soft is pressed deep into his ear, working its way into every crevice until he's deaf on that side. Cullen is surprised by how disorienting it is, almost dizzying, though it's not unpleasant until a what-if rings through him like an alarm bell. What if he'd been here earlier this evening? What if he'd come here as soon as Marin left his office? He'd have likely been in exactly this position when the fighting started outside. Tied up, deaf, blind. He would never have known what was going on until it was too late. He would have failed his soldiers again, failed to be there when they needed him, and at the very least, half a dozen Templars die, not to mention however many of his soldiers they took down with them. He panics in a way he's never panicked in his entire adult life, fighting against the ropes and restraining hands in earnest, kicking out with his feet, tossing his head from side to side to throw off the fingers that have already gripped his other ear. His fingers scrabble for the knots that are well out of reach, and it takes him a dozen pounding heartbeats to remember what he needs to do. Kato! The word bursts out of his mouth, nearly unintelligible, but he says it again and again until the rope around his wrists has gone slack, and Bull is murmuring in his unblocked ear, "I hear you, Kadan. I'm here." The panic recedes just enough that he can shove the blindfold off against his shoulder and stand blinking and shaking while Bull unwraps the last of the rope from his wrists. He still feels off balance, his hearing strangely muffled, and it isn't until Dorian cups a hand over his ear that he remembers why. Heat flares uncomfortably against his skin, and sound returns as something half-liquid runs from his ear into Dorian's hand. "Sit," Bull says, pushing him toward one of the chairs. But Cullen ducks out of his grip and backs up a few steps. He's not afraid of Bull, not exactly, only of triggering another rush of panic. "I can't do this." More words bursting out of his mouth before his brain can control them, but he takes a deep breath and says them again. "I can't do this."
"Do what?"
Bull asks carefully. He retreats to the table, all his attention seemingly on coiling the rope as neatly as possible. "This," Cullen says, gestures in a sweeping arc, at the room, at Bull and Dorian, at himself. "I can't do this. If I'd been here earlier, when the fighting started, I'd never have gotten to it in time." As the panic recedes, a little more rational thought makes it to the front of his brain, and he thinks guiltily of how long he was in his office, hearing the fight but locked too far inside his own head to be aware of it.
"If you'd been here," Bull says calmly, "I wouldn't have held you back. If you'd been deaf, I would have stopped so you could decide if it was something you needed to deal with.
What happens next time? Cullen says desperately, his mind already moving past tonight and on to future potential catastrophes. When there's a real crisis, and they can't find me.
What kind of real crisis do you think could happen that wouldn't wake all of Skyhold?
Dorian asks, almost as calm as Bull. Almost.
Sabotage, an attempt on the Inquisitor's life, some dire news that can't be shared with everyone, but still needs my attention.
The panic is fading, but there's still enough of it to paint a dozen gruesome pictures.
Their ability to find you quickly won't change any of those, Dorian points out.
I'll need to know, to react, to help plan how the Inquisition will react.
They'll keep looking for you until they find you, if any of those things happen.
Dorian's eyes narrow as he watches Cullen's face, and some of the wildness from earlier is still there in the tension in his shoulders.
It's not as if they'll shrug and say, "Oh, well, can't find Cullen. I suppose we'll just have to carry on without him."
They'll never look for me here, and while they're wasting time searching... Dorian cuts him off with a sharp gesture, hand slashing through the air.
Then tell them where to find you.
The thought is enough to make Cullen ill. He would rather the whore he'd nearly beaten tell her tale to all of Thedas than let even one person know what goes on in this room. The Inquisition's commander on his knees, blindfolded and bound and begging to be fucked. There would be no recovering from that.
No,
he can barely choke out the word.
I didn't say provide them with details.
Dorian's tone is scathing in a way only he can manage.
Tell Liliana. She can keep a secret.
And hold it over me for the rest of my life.
Then tell Josephine.
I have to be someone soldiers will follow, and that demands respect, Cullen says stiffly.
And how does telling Josephine, if you need me, check with Bull, undermine that respect?
She'll know what it means. Dorian's smiling, but it's a smile even sharper than the one he wore earlier. All teeth and no joy.
She'll know you're fucking him, yes, but she'll care for all of 5 minutes after you walk away. If you ask her to keep it to herself, the only one she'll tell will be the Inquisitor, who won't care at all. Neither of them will know more unless you decide to tell them.
They won't know until one of them walks in unannounced.
Doors can be barred, because you've been so careful about that in the past.
Dorian's hands flex at his sides.
Have I ever forgotten when you've been here? Even once? I walked in on you because you forgot.
As soon as the words are out, he regrets them. But his panic is turning into anger, and he's not prepared to back down.
No, Dorian says, and it's clear he's just as angry. You walked in because Bull asked me to leave that one door unbarred, and I didn't care, even if I didn't know why I wasn't locking it until you walked in.
Cullen opens his mouth, but Dorian's hand cuts through the air again.
Stop, Dorian says. Just stop. If this...
The wave of his hand mirrors Cullen's earlier gesture, indicating the room, himself, Bull,
is no longer worth the risk, then fine. Say that, and be done. But find something else to fill your time. Don't stand there cutting off your own options until that fucking tower is the only one left, and then pretend that isn't what you're doing.
His voice has gotten quieter, rather than louder, but his anger makes each word crack like a whip. They stare at each other in silence, broken only by their harsh breathing, until Dorian laughs, unamused.
Fuck this! If you want that tower so much, then do it. I don't even care anymore.
The silence that follows is absolute, without even the sound of breathing to disturb it. Dorian is again the one to break it.
That's bullshit, he says, and if possible, he looks even angrier than before. I do fucking care.
He takes a step towards Cullen, finger jabbing his chest.
I enjoy your company, with or without your cock involved, and the thought of you stepping off that tower.
Dorian,
Bull interrupts, and he steps forward to grab Dorian's arm.
Fuck you,
Dorian growls. This time, when he slashes his hand, the air turns solid and throws Bull and Cullen backward against opposite walls. Fuck you both! I am allowed to care whether my friends live or die. I am allowed to want to enjoy whatever time Corypheus leaves us, and I am allowed to want the people I care about to enjoy it too.
Every word squeezes Cullen's lungs, heavier than the air currently holding him in place. Each one reminds him that Dorian is yet another person he can fail. Bull expects nothing, asks nothing, except that Cullen abide by the agreement they made on the top of his tower. Dorian's expectations will crush him, all the faster because they're right and reasonable and fair.
You... Dorian chokes on whatever he meant to say next, his jaw working. Sparks are jumping from his fingers, and his hair, short as it is, floats in wisps around his head. More sparks dancing between the strands. Cullen might as well be waking from a dream of Kinloch Hold, fear and anger mixing with lust in a gut-churning mess, leaving him caught between conflicting desires. To run? To strike Dorian? Or to go to his knees and beg to be fucked?
You don't even realize how little sense you're making, Dorian says. His nearly normal tone is contradicted by the lightning beginning to crawl over his skin.
What? Cullen manages.
Your logic is complete and utter shit, Dorian says, enunciating carefully. And you're not half so good at hiding it as you want to be. I know exactly what's going through your head right now.
Really? Cullen says, anger beginning to gain the upper hand again. How can Dorian possibly know what he's thinking, when Cullen isn't sure himself?
Yes, Dorian snaps, and do tell me if I get this wrong, but somehow I doubt I will. Right now, you're thinking three things. First, that if I care about you, it will hurt me if you kill yourself.
Cullen flinches. He can't help it. They've talked around this a dozen times, but to have Dorian toss it out in plain language, stripped bare of euphemisms, sends the lyrium pain spiking through his body.
Second, that you're in some way a failure, that you've somehow failed me, and that you're hurting me by your failures.
His hands are flexing like he wants to grab Cullen and shake him.
And third, that the way to save me that pain is to simply cut yourself off from me, by killing yourself if necessary.
Stop saying that! The words are out before he even knows they're on his tongue.
What? Killing yourself? Dorian demands.
Yes!
Why?
Dorian takes a step closer. A single, hard step, as if he's been pulled forward against his will.
It's what we're talking about. I thought you hated all the coy little circumlocutions of the game. That you'd rather people spoke plainly. So let's speak plainly. You want to kill yourself. The only thing holding you back is Corypheus, because the Chantry poured honor and duty into you right along with the lyrium, and you can't shake any of the three.
I've never been one to torture myself for honor, but if it's keeping you alive, I can hardly object.
Dorian's hand jerks up, and the air shoves Bull against the wall once more. Cullen hadn't even realized he was moving, or that the barriers had slackened for a moment before Dorian reinforced them.
But you're also looking down the road, Dorian says, and you know that one of two things will happen. Either Corypheus will win, and so nothing else will matter, or the Inquisition will win, and your reason for staying alive will be gone. You'll be free to do what you've wanted to do for months.
The lightning is a crown around his head, terrifying and beautiful, and Cullen can feel it against his skin, even from several feet away.
So you perform this strange little shadow play in your head, Dorian goes on, and pretend it makes sense. I'm hurting my friends, you say to yourself. I'm hurting my friends because I'm a failure, and I'm a failure because I want to kill myself. So if I kill myself, then I'm not around to fail them anymore. And you wonder why I say your logic is shit? How is killing yourself not the ultimate failure?
That doesn't fucking help!
Cullen shouts, and he hates the way his voice breaks. To his surprise, the lightning around Dorian slows and falters.
I know, Dorian says, and his eyes drop. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But the rest of it's fine? Cullen demands, too angry to let it go. He actually hears the lightning crackle as it blazes back up, Dorian's eyes narrowing as they meet his again.
Tell me I'm wrong about the rest of it, he says. Tell me I'm wrong and I will apologize for every single fucking word.
Cullen's throat works, but no sound comes out.
You can't.
Dorian stalks close enough to slap a hand in the center of his chest, the lightning spreading from his fingers in tiny jolts that leave Cullen paralyzed.
You can't, because I'm right. You're building up your lies now, so that when Corypheus is gone, you'll have convinced yourself that you're doing the right thing, protecting us from ourselves, protecting me from you. I can't speak for anyone else, but let me assure you, my world is not so fragile that you can destroy it by accident.
Dorian's eyes are black, reflecting the lightning Cullen can feel on every inch of his skin.
My father, the man I loved and trusted and respected above any other, decided his legacy mattered more to him than me. He decided that he'd sooner destroy my mind, abandon every principle he'd ever taught me to value, than let me be as I am. I survived that.
Past Dorian's shoulder, Cullen can see Bull, still pinned against the opposite wall. He's not struggling anymore, but he's watching Dorian with an intensity Cullen's never seen in him outside of a fight.
My closest friend, my brother in everything but blood, died tainted,
Dorian says, so close he's practically breathing the words into Cullen's face.
While he was dying, his father decided to rip the world apart rather than admit his son was dead the moment the darkspawn wounded him, no matter how long it took for his heart to stop beating. Someone else I looked to in all things, who taught me how to live life as a good man, and then turned his back on all of it when it mattered.
Dorian's hand on Cullen's chest presses down harder.
I survived that too.
Cullen's muscles jump, lightning flickering through him to punctuate the last word.
Alex, Felix, Hallward fucking Pavus.
Dorian nearly spits his father's name, and he has to pause to draw a deep breath through his nose before he can go on.
I survived them, and every single fucking day I survived the contempt and the fear and the hatred that every single fucking person in the South wants to dump on me. And you think you'll somehow accidentally break me? You're either unspeakably arrogant, or you're looking for an excuse and lying to yourself about it. I swallowed enough lies into Vinter. I will not do it here.
He shoves himself away from Cullen, the lightning fading. His hair still stands on end, but the sparks are gone. Bull shifts against the wall, no longer held in place by Dorian's barriers, but also no longer trying to stop Dorian saying what he wants to say.
You don't know the difference between need and want, do you?
Dorian says at last, shoving his hands through his hair and grimacing as the strands cling to his fingers.
You think because you don't need something, you're not allowed to want it, and that because I want something, it means I can't live without it, or that losing it will be the end of me.
The hands in his hair close into fists.
I will not be your excuse, the lie you tell to justify killing yourself. So let me make this plain. Just because I care, because I want you to live, doesn't mean I won't go on no matter what you do. Just as the Inquisition will go on, whatever happens to you.
For all that Dorian accuses him of being irrational, Cullen feels there's something not quite right about Dorian's logic either. He can't put it into words, though, so he answers the only part of Dorian's rant that he can. An army needs a commander. His voice is weak, as if the lightning is still paralyzing his throat. The Inquisitor is a symbol, not... Dorian drops his hands and spears Cullen with a look. The air around him is still strange and half alive.
And you're the only person who can command an army? What about Cassandra? Or Bull?
Blackwall, if it comes to it, though Maker knows the bastard would be insufferable ever after.
What about your own lieutenants? Are you telling me they're so green they would fall apart if you somehow slipped? That you must be perfect at all times, in all ways, and never take help from anyone,
Because everything will fall apart if you do.
Cullen has no answer for that, and Dorian smiles humorlessly.
Exactly, he says. He gives Bull a look over his shoulder, a look Cullen can't see and probably wouldn't be able to interpret if he could. There are layers of history between Bull and Dorian that he's barely touched the surface of, despite the fact he's known both of them as long as they've known each other. The reminder that he's an outsider here is unexpectedly painful. Even as he tells himself that an outsider is exactly what he wants to be, he doesn't want to be a central part of anyone's life, with all the accompanying responsibilities.
Dorian is right about that, at least.
I'll see you tomorrow, Dorian says stiffly, and Cullen looks up to find him dressed and stamping his feet to settle his boots. There's no chance to scrape up a coherent sentence before he's gone, closing the door behind him. He doesn't slam it, but the sound echoes in Cullen's head as if he had.
Want a drink?
Bull asks after a painfully long silence, and Cullen nods. They dress and descend the stairs, passing Cole along the way. He's crouched in his usual corner, the brim of his hat hiding most of his face, and he doesn't appear to notice them. The Herald's Rest isn't too crowded, and they find a place where they can drink in relative peace. Neither of them speaks until Krem invites himself over and gets Bull talking about the newest member of the Chargers, while Cullen drinks and listens. He answers direct questions with as few words as possible, and is otherwise silent. He drinks more than he should, and it doesn't drown out Dorian's voice in his head. A few hours before dawn, he leaves Bull and Krem to their drinking and returns to his office, the words still beating their rhythm inside his chest. He's completely forgotten about the Templars camped on his floor until he's closed the office door and one of them says,
Commander?
Cullen nearly stabs the man. He's that startled. But he stops the movement with his sword still half-sheathed.
Why aren't you asleep? He asks, far too harshly.
You said to stay out of trouble, sir, the Templar says. We thought one of us should stand guard in case someone came in and was surprised to find us here. It's entirely sensible, and the fact that Cullen wants to hurt the first person he can find is no excuse for taking it out on someone who's actually, for once, trying to make his life less complicated.
A good plan, he says.
Thank you?
Sir.
Young the Templar may be, but he knows something is amiss.
Everything all right, sir?
Cullen wishes people would stop asking him that. One of these days he's going to tell the truth, and no one will enjoy that.
Fine, he says, in a more normal tone. This lie, at least, is one he has plenty of practice telling. Just tired.
Before he has to face any more uncomfortable questions, Cullen picks his way through the sleeping bodies. At the ladder, he turns back and says, You can bolt the doors. Now I'm in. If there's a problem, someone will knock. The words carry an uncomfortable echo of the ones Dorian said only a few hours ago, but Cullen ignores that and climbs the ladder. Alone in bed in the dark, it turns out, is perhaps the worst possible place to be when he's trying not to think.
If you want that fucking tower so much, then do it.
Of course he wants it. Nights like this, he feels like he needs it.
You don't know the difference between need and want, do you?
Part of him thinks it's Dorian who doesn't understand the difference. Staying away from his tower is as much of a struggle as holding his breath until he passes out. There are people who can manage such a feat, but not many, and not Cullen. All his responsibilities press in on him, and the tower is a promise of air. Just as his body aches for breath, everything inside him aches to take a step off the top of that tower. One tiny step, and he can leave it all behind on the cold rocks below Skyhold. A blood mage once tried to kill Cullen by swelling the flesh of his throat until it closed off his air. He feels now like he did then, choking and angry and helpless.
You are the only one who can command an army?
Perhaps not. But he's the one in command now, and he's good at it. Not just at the logistics and the tactics, either. He knows how to balance one need against another, to maintain discipline without forgetting that his soldiers are human, to accept change without tossing aside what works simply because something else is shiny and new, to take a lifetime's training as a Templar and turn it to good purpose despite what's become of the Order. And the most difficult balancing act of all, he knows how to give mages the freedom the Inquisitor demands for them, while reassuring his soldiers they won't wake up with an abomination screaming at them. His soldiers trust him, because he was a Templar once, even if the Templars have been corrupted and turned to Corypheus's ends. Would Bull or Cassandra or Blackwell be able to gain that same trust? And what would go wrong while they worked to earn it? Dawn is a long time coming, and despite his original intention to let his guests sleep in, he can't stand the sight of his ceiling once the sun is up. He rouses the Templars and rounds up one of his lieutenants, a man who has the misfortune to be off duty and in Cullen's line of sight when he sticks his head out of his office to look around. The lieutenant salutes him briskly and takes on the task of getting the Templars settled with no apparent sign of annoyance, though Cullen would be more surprised if he'd done otherwise. There's almost nothing on his desk, only a report from Leliana, with all the details he didn't want to know about what provoked last night's fight. He reads enough to reassure himself that he did have the right of it, then burns the report, mainly because at least this is something he's allowed to destroy. A long walk around Skyhold's wall calms him, and by late in the morning he feels almost human again. He turns his steps toward the garden a little early, planning to enjoy the weather while it lasts. It doesn't occur to him, this time, to be apprehensive about seeing Dorian again. When has Dorian ever so much as looked at him sideways, whatever happened the night before? Dorian may huff and rage, but it passes as quickly as it comes. No one sits at the table under the gazebo, but Cullen isn't concerned, only takes out his usual seat and lays out the board in a leisurely fashion. When the board is set, each piece centered precisely on its square, he leans back in his chair and watches the other people in the garden. It takes him far longer than it should to realize that Dorian isn't coming.